B-Pod Studios.
And then right after the U.S. Open, I'll be at Travelers, which, and there you go again, U.S. Open, Travelers, another designated event.
Well, and not only that, U.S. Open in Los Angeles, designated event in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Get your frequent flyer miles in.
No kidding.
Stay with us, and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there. Once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You need it? Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center, Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at CLT_golf guy. And what a fantastic week it was out at Quail Hollow Club. Just when I think the Wells Fargo Championship can't get better, Johnny Harris and his crew just blow it out of the water year in, year out. We'll begin today by chatting it up with Bill Rosinski, who was on the call all weekend with SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio. Then we'll catch up with Ryan Cabbage. He's the head men's golf coach with the UNC Charlotte 49ers. All he's done is win another Conference USA title and lead his team back into the NCAA regionals. His ability to peak his teams at this time of year, it's remarkable and uncanny. We'll get to that later. Let's get started. Bill Rosinski takes dead aim at the Wells Fargo Championship next. It's championship month at Greater Golf Express. Oh, sure, you can shop the box store and pay higher prices, or you can shop the unbox store and pay championship prices at Greater Golf Express in Pineville, next to Home Depot in Centrum Plaza. Looking for the new Callaway Rogue ST driver? Greater Golf Express has Rogue ST drivers discounted $150. Get yours for only $399.99. Or how about the TaylorMade Sim2 Max Iron 7-piece sets? Greater Golf Express's price starts at $699. Get steel, graphite, right or left-handed. Again, TaylorMade Sim2 Max Iron sets, only $6.99. How about a new wedge? Get a Cleveland RTX Zipcore wedge, only $119. And Titleist golf ball lovers, Greater Golf Express has Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls at 24 for $75. That's 24 Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls, 24, only $75. At Greater Golf Express, Centrum Plaza, Pineville.
Prices in effect as long as quantities last.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies in Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Bill Rosinski is a legendary broadcaster in just about every sport imaginable. Last week, he was once again on the call covering the Wells Fargo Championship for SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio. Bill, let's start with this just in the macro. I know I saw the pictures of you with your family at the Wells Fargo Championship on Sunday. I was there with my family, and I just started looking around. This event has become, to me, the premier family event for families of all shapes and sizes in the Charlotte area. You can make an argument that at one point it may have been a Panthers game or it may have been the Coca-Cola 600, but it's just amazing the event that the Wells Fargo Championship, especially on the weekends, has become.
Oh, yeah, and I think the interesting thing about it is the strollers that you see.
Yes!
You know, bringing the babies out there. So it is a special time, and I think the other thing, Charlie, is there's a lot of young people out there. This isn't, you know, you think of golf, and people in their 50s and 60s are sitting out there watching golf tournaments. There's a lot of young folks out there, and I know some of them are out there to party, but for the most part, they're there to because they know who's playing, they know how good the golf course is, they're a savvy golf crowd in Charlotte, and like I said, I thought there were a lot of young people out there watching golf this year.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you talk about whether or not they were paying attention. I happen to have, I don't know, beat up somebody and gotten some 15th Green Chalet tickets. And I was noticing just as many young people who weren't paying attention as those that were. So I think the percentages is coming around, whereas it used to be about 90-10, those not paying attention that those that were. That you're right. There's much more. I just was really blown away, and it was interesting. And you've done this too, when you go and you work Hilton Head down at Harbortown, we're talking about a very confined space, you know, all total as far as golf course area. Gosh, Quail is so huge that it's hard to get a grasp of how many people are actually out there, because you can put so many on such a vast, you know, area of property there that you don't ever feel that, you know, claustrophobic, crowded thing. Or is that just me? I was just in different places. But that's the other thing I noticed was, you know, my son was like, I don't know if there's that many people here. I said, no. This thing is sold out. There's a ton of people here, but there's just a ton of room.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I think someone said they had maybe 200,000 people.
Wow.
For the week. And now, to put that in perspective, that's a Saturday crowd at Phoenix.
Yes.
Okay. to put that number in perspective. But you're right. It's a huge golf course, and I credit the, you know, Johnny Harris and all the guys who run that tournament for the infrastructure they put in, because there's so many places to go. If you want to go have a beer, you want to get something to eat, you want to spend some extra money and sit in certain areas on the golf course, that's great. But it's not like you see lines like you do at the Masters clubhouse trying to buy merchandise. It's, you know, I think it's very fan friendly out at Quail Hollow, and it, you know, it's been that way for a long time, but I think they learned a lot during the President's Cup of what they could handle. And I think, you know, that even next year, they probably have even more stuff out there for people to do.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of Johnny, you know, sort of being a benevolent dictatorship out there. Not only that, but Johnny's background, not just with Quail Hollow, but being a member at Augusta National, where, you know, if you can dream it, it can happen. I think that that's one of the advantages of the Wells Fargo Championship being at Quail Hollow is Johnny Harris and his ability to just look at everything, no matter how good it was. And every year that it's out there, I go, wow, this was a really good year. I don't know how it could get better. And somehow they add a little wrinkle. And like you said, they picked up, I think they saw that what they were able to build around the tee box on one with the grandstands on three sides and the huge screen behind that they had never thought of before. And they immediately adapted that for the Wells Fargo Championship, and I thought that added a lot. And just, you know, I think they do a really good job of I always call it asking, okay, and then what? Where, you know, you get a good result, okay, that's great, and then what? What can we do? And I think they do a really fine job of that. And some tournaments may do a fine job of it, but they may be limited by budget or some other constraints, sponsor constraints or whatever. Quail, because of it being Johnny, really doesn't have that issue.
No, and I think the other thing that the club benefited from was the condition the course was in. I've been out there. I started buying tickets for this thing when I was still doing the Panthers and when it first started. And I've been working it for SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio since 2010. I have never seen the golf course as beautiful as it looked this past week. And even talking to some of the people in the TV compound, they were saying the same thing. Like, this is just a spectacular-looking golf course. And sometimes I'll watch the replay, not to necessarily watch golf, but just to see how the course looks on television.
Heard some, if there was one complaint, I don't know if complaint's quite the word, but a criticism that I heard about last week is this comment that although it was an elevated, a designated event, this was the first of the quote-unquote elevated designated events that didn't seem to quite have a buzz on the weekends. Did you sense that? Was it because, you know, the two guys kind of separated themselves on Saturday? Was it because you didn't have Rahm or Scheffler during the week? Are they that big a deal? Did you sense that it didn't quite have the oomph that the other designated events have?
Probably all the above, although when I'm out there calling shots and the people are out there watching golf, they were into it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the TV ratings were. Maybe down, I'm not sure. But this isn't the WWE, or as I work with my good friend Jim Ross at AEW, you can't write a script on this. You know, Jordan Spieth missed the cut. Jason Day missed the cut. Rory McIlroy almost missed the cut. Ended up, you know, hacking around on the weekend. You can't have, you know, it's up to these guys to put themselves into contention. It still wasn't a bad leaderboard going into the weekend, but it was the ability of Wyndham Clark and Shoffley to kind of separate themselves. And then no one really made a challenge on Sunday. Some guys made noises early. JT had it going early. But that was pretty much it. And then if you didn't make any hay on the front nine, it was certainly more difficult to do anything on the back nine. So I think you add all that in, then, yeah, I certainly understand, well, this didn't feel like the other designated events. To some extent, yes. But how about giving credit to Wyndham Clark for posting 19 under on a tough golf course and winning for the first time on the PGA Tour in a designated event? I think that's a pretty cool story.
One thing that I was thinking about on Sunday, like I said, I was camped out on 15, is thinking about courses that these guys go to year in, year out. And by us watching and listening, we become familiar with the golf course. I just don't know if I can think of a non-Augusta National that has the five finishing holes that are as good as Quail Hollow. You have the drivable par four, 14th. You have the reachable par 5, 15th, which, by the way, a ton of people reached or were adjacent to the green in two, and I think I can count the number of birdies on two hands that I saw all day. So you have 14, 15, and then you have the green mile finish, which can just be a nightmare, 16, 17, and 18, and it sure extracted its fair share of blood over the weekend. You see a lot more of these than I do from ground level. Is there a comparable five-hole finish? Is there a better five-hole finish on a year-in, year-out basis on tour than Quail?
Boy, I can't think of one. Now, you know, it's interesting at Phoenix because those, you got a par five that's 15 there, and you can get on in two, but there's a lot of water there. Then you got that stadium par three, the 16th.
Right.
Drivable par four at 17. 18 is kind of a nondescript hole. You know, if you hit it in the fairway, you can get it on the green. I think that might be a stretch that's pretty cool. And then there's other golf courses with unique holes at the finish, but not like this stretch.
Yeah, the stretch is what gets me, is that, you know, especially it sort of lulls you into a false sense of, oh, I can do this at 14 and 15. And then you got the green mile in front of you. And just, you know, for those that have never seen it in person or never played it, Bill, that shot that these guys were hitting when they would put it in the bunker on 16 and they have 195 or 200 to a green with a bunker guarding the right side, and I don't know, a huge lake on the left. I don't know how they stand up there and make that shot. I'd be quaking in my boots.
Oh, I know. And it's a far different. I remember, and you, Charlie, remember this, that used to be a pretty nondescript 16th hole, even though it was the green mile, because they lengthened it. I think there used to be like a big tree,
yes,
by the right of the green,
yes,
at 16 before they changed it. That was kind of like the second shot was key there. But you're right, 16 is, and it played over 500 yards every day.
Oh, yeah.
And then what they did at 17 was kind of cool, because on Saturday it played a buck 39. I'm sure these guys got to the tee and go, what the heck is this?
It was so funny. I was looking, I didn't see the coverage live, but I looked at it Saturday night when I got home. And to a man, when they would walk up to the tee, not only the caddies, the players immediately reaching in their back pocket, flipping through the pages of the yardage book, like, wait a minute, whoa, this wasn't on the preamble for the test here. What are we doing? Where did this come from?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because the players get, and the caddies, they get the hole locations the night before the round. They come out and say, you know, the public can access hole locations if they look hard enough for it. But they don't tell you where the tee boxes are. Now, in the seasons we're having now with ESPN Plus and PGA Tour Live on in the morning, if you're a smart guy and you're going to play in the afternoon, you might want to watch some of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
and find out, oh, hey, 17, the tee box is up. But you don't know where the tee boxes are until you actually get to the hole, which is it kind of unique in golf. And I know that's, I was always interested in how that would score playing 139 yards. Then, of course, it was back to normal on Sunday.
I know that you've gotten your main gig with PGA Tour Radio and SiriusXM as you're out there doing, you're following a group and doing coverage. The experience on Sunday for me being on one hole all day, I'd never had that before. And I'd always either been following a group or been in the press or press area or whatever, but I'd never just sat in one spot for a while. And I almost think everyone should do that one time because it will really humanize these people as golfers to you, realizing that they make the same mistakes and same screw ups that we all do. And it's strange, Bill, how there were three mistakes that were made by everyone. You could just draw a triangle of them on 15. They either bailed out right and had that nightmare of a chipper putt over the slope down to the hole, and all of them thought it was going to be lightning fast, and it was slow, and they were coming up short. They were long over the back of the green, and same thing. They thought that it was going to be much faster going down to the hole, and it was short. People were under-reading putts the exact same way. They would miss below the hole, and that chip was coming up short. It was amazing to me how these are the best golfers in the world. They were missing in the exact same spots, and all of them were making the same mistakes. And, you know, granted, unless they were watching early coverage, they weren't able to see, you know, what was happening with this. But the same guys making the same mistakes over and over again, and you realize that's the same thing we do when we're out with our buddies. Yep. We all make the same mistakes that everyone else does. But on television, when you only see the leaders and you only see the best shots, you think, oh, everyone is just somehow able to adjust and make the better read the next time. Nah, everybody's just as screwed up in this game as we are. I think it's great.
Well, I'll tell you what I find out is if I talk to the marshals, because they're stationed, especially up at the green, they're there all day.
Right.
For the most part, they're there all day. And every once in a while, and I don't go up to a guy and say, hey, how does this break? But every once in a while, the marshal will be standing next to me, and a guy's lining up a putt, and he'll look at me and he goes, everybody misses this right.
Yes, yes.
Okay? And sure enough, the guy would hit the putt, miss it right. So there's a guy, he's seen like you, sat in a hole all day, saw all the mistakes. So those are the guys I rely on every once in a while. Just, you know, okay, what is this? What happens here? Nobody's made this putt yet.
Now, I know you're sort of spot coverage week in, week out. Are you doing the majors this year? Are you going to L.A. North? Are you going to Rochester in a few weeks? What are you doing?
Sadly, no. The only one I would ever do anymore would be the PGA Championship, and I did not get that assignment. I am going to I'm in Dallas this weekend for the Byron Nelson, which will be interesting because Jordan's pulled out. Scotty Scheffler's the only real big name in the tournament. And this is, I think, something the tour is going to address next year with these designated events and where they fall on the schedule and some of the tournaments that, like Honda this year, that paid a heavy price for, you know, the names that would show up to play. You know, Jordan is going to play. He's a Texas guy. Scotty's a Texas guy. But everybody else is gearing up for the PGA Championship.
Yeah, I think that's a real problem that on paper didn't sound like it was going to be, but in practical application it was. When you're requiring these guys to show up at every one of these except for one, they're having to look at their schedule and go, okay, once we get into the stretch from the Masters through the Open Championship, where is a week that I can take off? And, you know, these guys were running into stretches between the California Swing and the Masters where they were playing, you know, 8 out of 10 weeks, 9 of 11 weeks. And you know as well as I do, no one on tour plays 9 of 11 weeks, 8 of 10 weeks. And these are the, you know, the biggest guys in the world doing it. And like you said, these other tournaments have really suffered. You know, although I liked, because I loved seeing the strength of field at Harbortown, I thought that was really interesting. I wonder if they can keep that a designated event. If you can keep a designated event at the week after a major, that to me seems a little much. But, you know, there's only so many weeks on the schedule. And, you know, they don't want to, you know, retract some events. I don't know how they deal with it. I do know that they're not going to require them to play in all of them next year. But then you sort of create a problem with the guys who are shelling out the $20 million purses. Hey, I want everybody here. So I don't know how you please everyone in this.
Yeah, and I think Tiger and Jack, in their tournaments, they don't want limited fields. They want cuts. We'll see how much sway they have with the commissioner. I think Tiger and Jack make it what they want. I understand Hilton Head is very much in the mix to be a designated event next year. And I think some of this has to do with sponsors. I mean, these guys have to come up with a lot of cash. And RBC is a strong sponsor. I'm waiting for one of these days for RBC, the Canadian Open, to be a designated event because of the people that they sponsor and, you know, the sway that they have with the events that they bankroll on the PGA Tour. I will tell you that I've been lucky enough this year, Charlie. I've worked a bunch of designated events, including Phoenix, and I'm going to be at Jack's tournament at Memorial, and then right after the U.S. Open, I'll be at Travelers, and there you go again, U.S. Open, Travelers, another designated event.
Well, and not only that, U.S. Open in Los Angeles, designated event in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Get your frequent flyer miles in.
No kidding. From SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio, that's Bill Rosinski. And when we return, UNC Charlotte 49ers head men's golf coach Ryan Cabbage takes dead aim at his team's recent and latest Conference USA title and previews the NCAA regionals. First, how about a trip by the Greater Golf Express Halfway House? You need it? Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center Pineville. It's championship month at Greater Golf Express. Oh, sure, you can shop the box store and pay higher prices, or you can shop the unboxed store and pay championship prices at Greater Golf Express in Pineville next to Home Depot in Centrum Plaza. Looking for the new Callaway Rogue ST driver? Greater Golf Express has Rogue ST drivers discounted $150. Get yours for only $399.99 or how about the TaylorMade Sim2 Max Iron 7-piece sets? Greater Golf Express's price starts at $699. Get steel, graphite, right or left-handed. Again, TaylorMade Sim2 Max Iron sets only $699. How about a new wedge? Get a Cleveland RTX Zipcore wedge, only $119. And Titleist golf ball lovers, Greater Golf Express has Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls at 2 dozen for $75. That's 2 dozen Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls, 2 dozen only $75 at Greater Golf Express, Centrum Plaza, Pineville.
Prices in effect as long as quantities last.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies in Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Ryan Cabbage is the truly amazing head men's golf coach for the UNC Charlotte 49ers.
Coach, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I have to have one coach to coach my golf team for one weekend, for a series of matches, that it's for my life on the line. You are so on the short list. I don't know how many times that you have gone in. You've gone into the Conference USA tournament and you've had teams that were playing great. You've had conference, you've gone into the tournament with teams that were playing meh, and it doesn't matter. You win the dang conference tournament every time I turn around. You did it again this year, and, you know, brushing up on your schedule leading into it, you weren't exactly playing the best golf of the season.
No, we had times this year where we certainly didn't play our best, and I think there were quite a few factors that kind of led to that. In a big picture, I think we just had some guys that over the course of their career here have had a lot of success, guys that have won conference championships and won a lot of golf tournaments throughout their career, and I think they were just trying a little bit too hard, quite honestly, on a week-to-week basis to try to continue, winning championships and winning trophies and things like that. And sometimes when things don't quite go the way that you had hoped that they would go, and you add in there trying a little bit too hard, it can lead to some struggles, which it did for this team at times throughout the year. But you know, fortunately, we got it sorted out at the right time, and we had actually played better for a couple of events leading up to the Conference USA Championship, and felt good about where we were going to Texarkana as far as where the guys and where they were with their games, and they played some really good golf out there, and got us another conference championship.
you know, the macro and what you just said is so true about any sport. You can put so much pressure on yourself to live up to expectation, whether they be a fan bases, a coaches, or yourself, that you press and get into trouble. And in the micro, in the game of golf, how many times have you been on the golf course and you've had a bad hole, you've had a double bogey, and you press to try to make it up all at once with a birdie or an eagle that next hole, and it just, that just compounds itself. So that's interesting that your team felt that, and that's so true of sports, and especially within the game of golf.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And it's not about last year's team, but when you've got, four of these guys with Connor Goff and DJ Park and Ben Woodruff and Carson Owenby, that was on a team in 21, 22, that won, I guess that team ended up winning five times last year. And had some great success. There's not a sense of entitlement, there, but you just feel like, oh, well, we just do what we do and we win. And winning is not easy in any sport, but especially in golf. When you're showing up week to week and you've got anywhere from 12 to 18 teams, that are trying to do the same thing. So you're not just really playing one other team, to get a win. It's hard to win. And as I said earlier, when maybe the wins don't start coming, it's easy to press a little bit. And like you said, it doesn't matter if it's a round of golf or a hole in golf or a tournament or a season. It's easy to kind of get, lose focus on what's important. And we kind of fought that a little bit this year. But the one thing I always felt comfortable with this team was the work ethic. The work that they were putting in on a daily basis, and I felt like that it was just a matter of time. We just needed some things to kind of go our way, and kind of see some good things happen in each round or at the end of the week with a tournament with a good result, whatever it might be that we could kind of build on. And I think we've got that now, certainly coming out of a conference championship and getting ready for an NCAA regional.
Well, you bring up a couple names there. DJ's been with you for a while, but I look at names like Woodruff and Goff and Owenby. It's a little known fact. Those guys are 36 years old. They've been with you so long. And I'm a huge believer, and you know this, in team experience and leadership coming from that experience. You have to feel really good heading into the regionals. And I want to talk about the conference tournament in a second, but heading into the regionals with guys who have been on the board for you for 40 and 50 matches in their career, that means a lot.
Oh, for sure. And I think, it's one of the things that I probably, again, I took for granted just as much as these guys, maybe did a little bit that, oh, well, we've got these returning guys and the ball is just always going to bounce the same way, so to speak. And that's not always the case, but there is, certainly a comfort level with these guys, as you mentioned, Ben and Carson. I want to say they played 45 events for us throughout their career here. Now, to put that in perspective, the number of events possible throughout their career that they could have played in is 46. So those guys have been here, for the better part of 5 years, and they've played all but one event. I want to say Ben missed an event out in Dallas early in his career. Carson missed an event down at Sawgrass Country Club early in his career. And other than that, those guys, if the plane's taking off or the van's leaving campus, those guys have been on it. And the same thing really for DJ and for Connor Goff as well. So these guys have some experience. This will be the third year in a row with DJ, Ben, and Carson playing in an NCAA regional. Connor Goff played last year up at Yale in the NCAA regional with our team. So we'll have some experience there and guys that kind of have an understanding of what an NCAA championship looks like and what it's going to take to advance and move through to Scottsdale.
Coach, before we move on to that region, let's talk a little bit about the Conference USA Championship in Texarkana. Now, Conference USA, if my memory serves, was the very first major conference or D1 conference to go to match play, mimicking what was happening in the final round of the NCAA tournament. And I think that's really helped y'all from the start. And you seem to embrace that early on as a really good idea. Does it surprise you that how fast the rest of the country sort of took to that model and hopping on board with the match play championship as part of their conference tournament?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a huge fan of match play. You know, I grew up and playing a lot of other sports, and where it was more, you know, whether it was basketball, baseball, whatever, it's my team against your team, and let's see who's going to win today. So I've always felt like being able to tie that into golf, I think, is really, really cool. You know, all of our guys over the years, all the way back to the first year we did it with Conference USA was 2015, and you know, we had a team that year that won an NCAA regional, and all of those guys still to this day would say that their funnest experience in college golf was match play at the conference championship. And so I just think it makes for a really cool environment. You know, it's just a lot of fun to jump into match play. You know, a lot of the Power Five schools and those guys have now gone to match play. I know they're doing that in the ACC, and the SEC is doing that. And I think it's a good prep for, you know, Scottsdale. And you know, you run that race to try to get – it doesn't matter if it's at the conference level or at the NCAA finals. You know, you run the race for a few days to get into match play, and then you kind of reset and you get ready. And how are we going to send out our lineup, and what are we going to do? I just think it's great for college golf. It's something that I think the fans can kind of relate to a little bit more in match play because, you know, I'll take our baseball program, for instance. You know, this weekend it was easy to relate to, okay, it's Charlotte versus Florida Atlantic. You know, we don't get that in golf because, like we talked about before, it's 15 to 16, 18 teams every tournament. But when you get to match play, now it's, okay, who do we play in the semifinals? Who do we play in the finals? I just think it's an overall, it's just a great team environment for college golf, which I absolutely love.
Well, and looking at once you got to the match play portion of Conference USA in the semifinals against North Texas, and then in the finals, I guess Louisiana Tech, it's not exactly like it was a blowout. These guys are going to make you gray and old before your time, Coach, winning 3-2, and it looks like they were grinders both matches.
Yeah, both for sure were. You know, that was a really good North Texas team that we were able to beat in the semifinals. And, you know, I think that as a coach, you know, we always just want to prepare our guys to be able to perform when they have to perform. In our sport, whether it's holing a putt that has to be holed at that time to win a hole or to have a hole, whatever that it might be, or hit a shot when you've really got to hit a shot. And these guys, and you look through, and between the semifinals and the finals, all five of the guys had to step up. You know, in the semifinal match, you know, it was DJ Park and Carson Owenby that kind of came, you know, down the wire, and Ben had kind of put a point on the board for us early, but, you know, Carson and DJ kind of had the stress of that semifinal match, and then you go to that final match. And it wasn't real good there through about 12 holes, and Connor Goff was able to flip his match around. Ben got his match flipped around, and then fortunately for that one, Carson, we kind of laughed. He kind of had the afternoon off because he jumped out to a big lead. So that was nice to kind of have that point on the board early with that. But no, it was quite the stressful semifinal match, and then the final match as well. But so happy with these guys and you know, excited for them to see them be able to perform when they absolutely had to. That was just great to see.
Talk to me a little bit about the grit of golf. It had to be tough. He lost in the lost his match in the semifinals. You mentioned he's down in his match in the finals. I imagine at some point, you know, we were talking about being down in adversity, and it's real easy to get on yourself and just getting your own way again. But man, for that kid to turn it around like that, flip the match and win it, that's huge, especially after enduring the loss the day before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you a neat story with Connor. One of the things we talked about the night before the semifinal matches and the final matches was, number one, you know, believe in yourself. Number two, play for your teammates. And Connor told a story as we were on our way back over to the airport to come back to Charlotte. and he had just three putted the 13th hole to go two down in his final match. And he said he got to the 14th tee, and he was telling this story to Ben Woodruff, who was in the car with us. And he said, you know, Ben, I thought about you today when I got on the 14th tee. He said, I kind of went back to what Coach said about playing for your teammates. And I told myself, Connor, you got to get going here. This cannot be Ben's last day of college golf. And I thought that was pretty cool to see a guy, you know, and that's only part of the story. From there, he goes out and he wins the 14th hole, the 15th hole, the 16th hole, and the 17th hole to win his match 2-1.
Wow.
But I thought that was pretty cool from a team dynamic to hear a guy say, you know what, it became bigger than me. It became about someone else, and I knew I had to get going for that guy, not just me, but for that guy. And I think, again, and I could talk for days about the team chemistry and the culture that these guys have put in with our program. But that, I thought that was a pretty cool story to hear Connor say that about doing it for others. But that certainly doesn't discount the golf that he had to play on those last four holes to win those four holes and get that point for us. But a story I will always cherish and remember, and one that I'll share with many other teams down the road for sure when we get in a situation like that.
Oh yeah, it's sort of, you now have your win one for the Gipper, only not as tragic as the Gipper, but you have your win one for the Gipper speech from now till the end of time when you have your initial meetings with your teams. Let's talk about the third straight NCAA regional. You're heading out to California. I would like to say I know something about the course at San Jose State. I know nothing about it other than they need to change the name. The Institute Golf Club just doesn't sound like an appetizing 18 holes of golf. Probably a pair. What do you know about it?
Well, it's funny. I may not know much more than you know. It's a hard golf course to get much information on. The first time I Googled it after the selections came out, the first thing that popped up was a list of most exclusive clubs in America, and there at number one was the Institute.
Wow.
Not a lot of people have been around there. I was able to talk to another coach on the West Coast earlier today to get a little bit of a rundown. He had taken his team down earlier in the season to be able to play it, and so we'll be learning on the go a little bit, but at least we do have a little bit of a heads up on what to expect. The great thing is I think we can expect a perfectly manicured gym of a golf course. It's going to be a lot of fun for these guys. And one that we're certainly looking forward to getting out to and playing. It's going to be a big golf course. We're going to see almost 7,600 yards.
Wow.
So these guys are going to get to they're going to get to hit a bunch of drivers and hit it just as far as they want to, with no real issues on that. Other than that, I think big greens that I expect, based on what I know, are going to be extremely fast. So we'll have to get some work in between now and then to get ready for some really, really fast green speeds, probably in the neighborhood of 13 or 14 on the stimp. We'll have to get some work done on that to get used to that. But looking forward to getting out there and getting started.
Well, the good news is you're at the time of year that you can get places that have those green speeds. I was playing a match at Providence Country Club this last weekend, and they were rolling in the 13s. So I know that the courses are out there. You can get that kind of work. I guess that was my next question, is based on what you've talked about with that other coach, have you sort of scouted out some places here in the Carolinas or within driving distance of where you are now to get you some exposure as to what you'll be looking at?
Yeah, we can do that a little bit with the courses here in town. We're fortunate with that. We do have some guys in final exams and actually a couple guys that are going through U.S. Open qualifying. So we're a little bit restricted on being able to get out of town. But, you know, fortunately, being in a great golf community, we'll be able to find some, like you said, we'll find some quick green speeds and some golf courses that, you know, the guys are going to hit a bunch of drivers to get prepared for California and getting out to the Institute.
Get you out of here on this. I have no idea who all's out there in your region. I imagine some pretty big-time golf programs are out there. I would think golf is different from most other sports in this respect. I would understand if you are a football player at Charlotte and you are playing the University of Alabama and you would be intimidated by what you see across the line of scrimmage. These kids that play golf, they've been playing against each other all over the country, in some cases all over the world, since they were 8, 9, and 10 years old. There's nothing intimidating about playing anyone in golf, is there, or am I misreading that?
No, I think you're spot on there, and that's one of the things, you know, you and I have talked about before with the schedule that we set up throughout the course of the year, whether that be our fall tournament schedule or the spring tournament schedule. It's all with the idea of having these guys prepared for an NCAA regional and then an NCAA finals. And whether that be the types of golf courses that we're playing or whether that be the competition that we're playing, and again, not having the full field in front of me for this regional, I think there may be. We haven't seen Florida State this year, but you go down the list of all the other teams that are in this regional. We've seen Pepperdine. We've seen Baylor. We've seen Mississippi State, Louisville. You know, it just goes on and on. So that's something that when our guys, when they walk out on the practice tee, you know, on Sunday for the practice round, they're going to see a lot of familiar faces. They're going to see teams that we've seen all year. So ultimately, again, that's to create a comfort level, for the guys so that this just becomes another golf tournament, for them. And then, so I feel good with the setup of the program throughout not only this year but the past few years with these guys. So there'll be a comfort level with that. And then it just comes back to, you know, drive the ball in the fairway, keep it in correct relation to the hole and hold some putts. And it's just about golf. It's not the overwhelming maybe intimidation factor that some teams may experience if their schedule is not set up throughout the season and things like that. But I feel good with these guys and going to this regional and hopefully even, you know, getting to Scottsdale, it would be the same thing, you know, when we get there and we see, you know, the Vanderbilts and of the world that are the top teams in the country. We've already seen those guys. So there'll be a comfort level there for our team for sure.
Can we go ahead and give some conference shout-outs? I know some awards have come down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've got DJ Park is going to be named to our first team all-conference selection. That'll be the second year in a row for DJ. He was our conference player of the year last year, so extremely excited for him to be a first teamer once again. You know, DJ's a guy that's picked up awards, seems like, at the end of every season, whether that be our all-conference team or our all-freshman team, you know, in his first year with us. So he's been fantastic for our program and excited, you know, for him. And then we had a couple other guys that just missed all conference teams by a very slim margin. You know, so I know that that's something that those guys wanted to do. Unfortunately, didn't quite work out for them, but I could see that probably being a little chip on their shoulder and a little extra motivation coming up for this regional. So we'll take that and kind of build on it, and those guys will be ready to go when we get to California.
Congrats and best of luck to his Conference USA champion Charlotte 49ers at the NCAA Regionals. That, of course, head men's golf coach Ryan Cabbage. I'd also like to thank SiriusXM and PGA Tour Radio's Bill Rosinski for his time and insight this week. A reminder, follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now are links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around the world of golf. Weather-wise, shaping up to be a fantastic weekend in the Carolinas. For letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golfguy. And I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You need it. Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center, Pineville.
It's championship month at Greater Golf Express. Oh, sure, you can shop the box store and pay higher prices, or you can shop the unboxed store and pay championship prices at Greater Golf Express in Pineville, next to Home Depot in Centrum Plaza. Looking for the new Callaway Rogue ST driver? Greater Golf Express has Rogue ST drivers discounted $150. Get yours for only $399.99. Or how about the tailor-made Sim 2 Max Iron 7-piece sets? Greater Golf Express is purchase price starts at $699. Get steel, graphite, right or left-handed. Again, TaylorMade Sim 2 Max Iron sets only $699. How about a new wedge? Get a Cleveland RTX Zipcore wedge, only $119. And Titleist golf ball lovers, Greater Golf Express has Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls at two dozen for $75. That's two dozen Titleist Pro V1 and AVX logo balls, two dozen only $75 at Greater Golf Express, Centrum Plaza, Pineville.
Prices in effect as long as quantities last.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.